Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have a very special guest and friend with us today, Bruce Adamson. And you know, if you look back in time, it's just 41 years ago today when a very important event occurred. There was a coup d'etat in America, and a small group of people were able to kill the leader of the United States and, of course, take over total control of our government, move us into the war in Vietnam, bring in the Great Society programs, increase the centralization of power in government, begin to remove God and prayer and all those other things from our schools, to destroy the moral foundation of our society, change the immigration laws. And, of course, I'm speaking now of the murder of an American president, and of course this is just 41 years ago. How are you, Bruce Adamson? Bruce is the world's leading expert on a man named de Moorenschot, John George de Moorenschot, and most people don't understand that de Moorenschot was the handler for the Harvey Oswald. De Moorenschot was associated with the CIA. But more than that, of course, there was a cover-up for the assassination of an American president. Many of the records, most of the records of the murder of an American president are still classified today. Are we classifying it so to keep Lee Harvey Oswald or his relatives from knowing what happened on November 22nd, 1963? No, they don't want the American people to know. That's the reason they have all the records still classified from Pearl Harbor, and why they've classified all the records of what happened on September 11th, 2001. And it's not because we don't want Osama bin Laden to know, or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We don't want the American people to know what really happened on September 11th, 2001. But you see, if we don't understand what happened on November 22nd, 1963, we certainly can't understand what is going on today. So, Bruce, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, now, of course, you spent how many years actually tracking down the whole George de Moorenschot story?
Well, and I'm keep going. Things just keep popping up. 13 years, and I've put about $200,000 into researching and, you know, discovering. I went on a year-long trip in a motorhome all over the U.S., and I made about $80,000, but of course that's gross, you know.
Well, what you're saying is you're behind. You've never made back the money you invested.
No, but I'm not sorry. I feel like the discoveries, for somebody, if I had a publisher that was probably be no way that I'd get the story out, but by doing it myself, even though I have to bind the books, it's tedious, but and do it myself, at least I'm educating some people.
And of course, I guess I've known Bruce for more than 14 years now, because you started about, what, 1940?
1940.
What year did you start doing your research?
I started researching in 1992.
Well, I think I've known you at least that long, and maybe even
no,
longer.
You've known me since about 1988.
Okay, fine. Bruce was my patient when I was practicing, and Bruce got a nice settlement from the post office where he worked, and instead of using that to buy a car or a fancy house, he bought a motorhome and he started touring across America to begin to get that information, which is vitally important, that nobody else has. And it's sort of like unraveling a mystery, putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And we'll tell you about that when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bruce Adamson, who I guess I've known since 1988. But he has, of course, spent the last 14 years studying this history and the story of George de Moorenschelt. Now, for those of you who don't know who George de Moorenschelt was, he was the handler for Lee Harvey Oswald. He had a long history of CIA connections. And, of course, there's no question, if anybody's looked into what happened, that Lee Harvey Oswald was not the lone assassin. He was the patsy who was set up, to take the fall because they couldn't let the American people know that this was a coup d'etat. It involved some of the highest people in our government and the FBI and the CIA with the full cooperation of the media. Well, anyway, Bruce, why don't you tell our listeners why you picked up George de Moorenschelt to follow his story and, of course, to put it all together to show such an important part of this incredible story of the murder of an American president, and to this very day most people really don't understand what happened that day.
Well, when I first began, I won my case against the post office, like you said, and then I wanted to make a decision. I was so sick of the subject because of Oliver Stone's movie came out and they were implying military people. But Oliver Stone originally had the CIA and he changed the script. But I was just kind of tired of hearing all these different theories: the mob, the Russians, the Cubans. And I wanted to make a decision. So I went through the 26 volumes or 27 volumes and I came across George de Moorenschelt, and in there it says that he dated or saw Jackie Kennedy's mother on a daily basis. And, I had a nightmare, one night that Jackie's mother and Jackie knew Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend, and I got all this spooked about it. And then I started researching it, and I thought, well, if Jackie had been involved or something, she wouldn't be sitting next to the president in the car. So I kind of erased that. And then I saw that de Moorenschelt, then I went to the House Select Committee and saw that de Moorenschelt committed suicide and that he had his personal papers there. So I did a Freedom of Information Act, which that didn't have to be honored, but Florida has a state. De Moorenschelt's suicide in 1977, March 29th, was the first coroner's inquest in the state of Florida. And so I asked the colonel of the West Palm Beach Sheriffs if they gave me a copy. I know they didn't have the time to do it. I said, you don't have the time to do it, but I'll let you know what I did find out, and I'll do research as a genealogist.
All right, hold that thought, because we're going to bring our stations on. But
sure.
But Bruce got a copy of the... Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Bruce Adamson, and Bruce got a copy of George de Moorenschelt's, what was this, his telephone log, wasn't it?
That's right, his personal telephone book, and I started doing genealogical research on everybody in it, and couldn't make the story fit to my taste. I had to go with what I found out.
And, of course, what you found was the names of an awful lot of very key and important people who were connected to George de Moorenschelt. Well, I'm going to let you tell the story. Whose name was in that book, and what was the relationship to George de Moorenschelt, who was the handler for Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, there are so many names. William S. Paley, the owner of CBS, and the uncle by marriage to Chuck Barris, who produced this movie, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, about a CIA assassin. And then there's Nelson Rockefeller's main man, Stanley Hope, who was the president of Standard Oil of New Jersey. There was Lyndon Johnson's name in there.
And his telephone number.
His telephone number, 1957 telephone number. So this is 5-6 years before the assassination as a senator. And Clint Murchison, H.L. Hunt, John Meekham, many big oil men, George Herbert Walker Bush, Oleg Cassini, his brother, Igor Cassini, and Jackie's mother, Janet Lee Auchincloss, was listed, or Janet Lee Bouvier, and... so I just, I said, wait a minute, then I was able to pinpoint the time that they were, they were entered. And there was typewritten ones, and then there was handwritten ones. And I was able to pinpoint it to 1954-55. George Herbert Walker Bush's Zapata Oil Company was founded in 53. So that put the bottom at the bottom of the date. And then I was found other people who were deceased in 54 or 55, so I brought it down in between that time.
And of course, for our listeners out there, we have a wonderful taped interview. It's in our by JFK Assassination 4-tape set, The Update, and it was an interview with Madeline Duncan Brown, who was Lyndon Johnson's mistress. And actually, of course, she described the meeting that was held before on the evening of the 21st of November. And who was there? Why, there was Cliff Murchison, and there was H.L. Hunt, and of course there was J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI, and people from the CIA, and people from the Mafia. So you begin to see how all of these people begin working together in this conspiracy to kill an American president. But we couldn't let the American people know that, so we had a special committee formed. That was the Warren Commission, and it wasn't appointed to reveal what happened. It was supposed to conceal what happened from the American people, and that's why all the records there that weren't published are still sealed today. Why? Because they can't let the American people know the truth. Go ahead there. So as you begin to evaluate, what did you find, Bruce?
Well, I found a number of motives, and then I started interconnecting them. Some of them could connect, and some of them did not. But I was able to connect like seven different motives together, and a few of them could be right, or a few of them could, you know, not have been involved, but they're still there. You know, there's still a possibility of them being there. And then, I found out that DeMornchel's wife worked with the man who filmed the assassination, and they both belonged to the same CIA organization.
Now, you're talking now about Zapruder film. So the Zapruder film, you're suggesting, maybe not exactly what we've been told. After all, most people, when they hear the gunshots ringing out, are hitting the ground, but not Zapruder. No. He's just standing there very calmly and taking the pictures.
And he had vertigo, right? He's standing on the side of a wall, and he's not... he says he hears the bullets whistling by him, but he's not dropping to the ground. And that's not natural. When you hear gunshots and you don't know that they're not when they're coming, if they come as a shock, you know, people in wartime filming any kind of a crime will go for their own safety. If they're any kind of human being, you know, that's only natural. It's like an animal. You're going to run. And so what I did is I found out that they both belonged to the CIA's Dallas Council on World Affairs, which was founded by Neil Mallon, who gave George Bush Sr. his first job out of the Navy, at Dressers Industries.
Now, didn't you actually write to George Bush Sr., and didn't he write back and say that he knew George DeMornchel?
Yeah, since 1942, and... that letter is actually posted on my website and on your website on the link.
All right, fine. So the information is all there, but Bruce has done a tremendous job. He's done what nobody else had the time to do. He wanted to find the information. He traveled around the country. He went down to Lyndon Johnson's library, and you even found information there that wasn't available in the Warren Commission. What was that all about?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest shocks. I'll never forget. It was 1994 or 1995 that I was in at the University of Texas, and I went through LBJ's documents, and I found the actual letters between Lyndon Johnson and DeMornchel, only written a week after Oswald allegedly shot at right-wing general, Major General Edwin Walker. And then I went to the House Select Committee, and I see that the CIA released a memo that DeMornchel is meeting with this person on April the 26th, but they black out the name of that person.
And that person was Lyndon Johnson.
That's right.
Because they can't let the American people know that. Why? Because Lyndon Johnson was involved in the assassination. But he wasn't involved alone. Certainly he hated the Kennedys. He felt that they'd stolen the election, the nomination from him. But, of course, the big oil people, Clint Murchison and H.L. Hunt, they didn't like John Kennedy, first of all. well. They thought he was an upstart coming out of Boston, and of course, he wanted to do away with the Oil Depletion Allowance. He didn't want to get us involved in the war over there in Vietnam. Why, he had a lot of crazy ideas. He even wanted to have a silver-backed currency. So he had a lot of enemies. There was a lot of reason to kill Kennedy. The fact that they were able to get away with it with the full support of the controlled media and the FBI, which was involved, and the CIA, which was involved. And there were so many people who knew about it, and it's all been suppressed all these years.
And, one of the other things was that, I found out that DeMarchand was friends with Jackie Kennedy's dress designer, Ole Cassini, and Igor. They're white Russians, just like DeMarchand. And Igor Cassini's wife committed suicide on April the 7th because of Robert Kennedy prosecuting her husband. Mrs. Igor Cassini, her maiden name was Charlene Reitzman. And Charlene Reitzman was the daughter of Charles Reitzman and the granddaughter of Charles Reitzman, who was the author of the Oil Depletion Allowance. And every time Lyndon Johnson went to Palm Beach, where the two doors away, the Kennedys stayed at this estate that was given up to them by one of DeMarchand's friends, another white Russian, C. Michael Paul. And Lyndon Johnson would stay with the Reitzmans. They were ultra-conservative Republicans, but they were still, at that time, friends with the Kennedys until Charlene Reitzman committed suicide. And he was a trustee of the Museum of Modern Art, Charles Reitzman. But I found out that DeMarchand's in-laws from his third marriage and the Reitzmans had thrown this big ball called the Goya Ball in Palm Beach in 1955, and I spoke to Igor Cassini. He told me he attended the event, and Igor Cassini read my JFK timeline book, and he said, "Oh, that you get an A plus. You've done an excellent job." And then I found out from somebody in Atlanta, Georgia, that he was like really pissed off at my work, and very upset. And this guy, emailed me this, and I. Then my one of my relatives became friends with Igor's son, but what was interesting is Igor's brother's first wife was actress Jean Tierney. Ole Cassini first married Jean Tierney, and she was the one that introduced George Herbert Walker Bush into politics in Houston. She was a Houston Oil woman because she married Houston Oil man Howard Lee after retiring as an actress, and. That was in 1962 that she introduced George Bush into politics. Well, that suicide of Charlene Reitzman Cassini kind of fits in with the Bush thing and the Oil Depletion Allowance. And then since George Bush was in charge of the Bay of Pigs invasion for the CIA, that kind of fits in with the firing of Alan Dulles after he failed to run the show when it came time to invade Cuba.
Of course, Kennedy was furious with Alan Dulles because Kennedy had been promised that this would be a slam dunk. They were just going to send the troops ashore. There was going to be a revolution. They were going to overthrow Castro and everything would be just like it was before. He didn't know that the whole thing was set up to fail. Alan Dulles disappeared. They changed the landing site from the beaches where they could have, of course, succeeded to the one site in all of Cuba where they couldn't possibly have succeeded, a place called the Bay of Pigs, surrounded by a dense thicket, and there was no way out other than up a road, and there were 5,000 Cuban troops there waiting. And then, of course, they left the Cuban Air Force intact. They lied to the people saying they were going to have air cover. I'm talking about the Cubans who went in there, the anti-Castro Cubans. They left them to die on the beaches, and when Kennedy realized what had happened, he fired Alan Dulles, and of course, in so doing, signed his own death warrant, because who did they put on the Warren Commission to make sure there was no conspiracy?
Alan Dulles.
Because you see, the American people don't know how this fits together, and all the records are still sealed. We can't let them know that they've been lied to all these years. But why, if there's nothing to conceal, are they still have all those records classified? Why do they classify all the records having to do with what happened on 9/11? Ladies and gentlemen, a freedom is never free. And if you're not involved, we can assure you, one day very soon, you're going to lose your freedom as well. We'll be back here in just a few moments. with our special guest, Bruce Adamson.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bruce Adamson, who is the world's leading expert on George Du Maurier-Sheldon. And Bruce, how can people get in touch with you, get your material, get your timeline, get the various things that you've put together, giving the background of this incredible information that you've uncovered?
Well, the website is real simple. It's CIAJFK.com.
CIAJFK.com, right.
And I would just ask that people tell me that they heard me on your show so I can, you know, make some kind of contribution to Radio Liberty.
All right. Be sure to mention you heard about it on Radio Liberty. Well, anyway, go ahead. And of course, what about if they don't have access to the internet?
Oh, internet, then they can write to Dr. Stan to get the CD or the video. I produced an hour-long video, and that's $20. Or they can just write to me at P.O. Box 1003, Aptos, that's APTOS, California, 95001. No. But they can get it off, all my information off your website, too.
All right, fine.
RadioLiberty.com.
All right, give that address just one more time.
P.O. Box 1003, Aptos, APTOS, California, 95001.
And, of course, there's a timeline there. How many different volumes
there
do you have?
There are 13 volumes. You can get them all on CD or you can get them bound, but it's when you get them all on CD, you pay like one-fourth the price.
Okay. And you print them out and then buy them.
It's a lot less work for me.
Right. And this is a labor of love on the part of Bruce, but he's really, somebody had to get that information together to find out that the strong ties that George Zimornschelt had with the Central Intelligence Agency. And what was this Russian immigrant, this very high-class individual doing with a man who's just come back from the Soviet Union after trying to renounce his citizenship? But then after Lee Harvey Oswald tried to renounce his citizenship and married a Russian woman, why did the American government pay his way back to the United States? And why was Lee Harvey Oswald doing everything he could after he came back to the United States to push the idea that he was pro-communist, you know, passing out flyers for the Fair Play Committee, Fair Play for Cuba Committee, and supposedly so pro-communist? Do you think this was all an act on Lee Harvey Oswald's part?
You're asking me? Yes.
Right.
Yes, I do. And I think that that the people that set him up should be ashamed of themselves for framing one of their own to take the fall and blame for killing the president.
But, of course, whenever you work for the intelligence agencies, why, of course, your life is expendable, and they'll betray you. And when you try to tell them you're working for the intelligence agencies, why, you know, they'll just say, well, we never heard of you. And didn't Lee Harvey Oswald say, I'm the patsy?
Yeah, and he also said that on that recording that you were mentioning, that I have the full support of the U.S. government. I mean, that is to say, I am in communication with them.
that actually is a in our first four tape set on the JFK assassination, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald saying just that. He's in this debate at a radio station in New Orleans. And, of course, he says, you know, when they ask him, well, weren't you, you know, trying to, you know, defect to the Soviets? And he said, no, I was in I was under the control of his. What was the exact wording? I haven't heard it for years.
He said, I have the complete support of our government. That is to say that I'm in communication with them.
The embassy over there in Moscow. So
yeah.
He was a CIA agent or an FBI agent. He was an intelligence asset. He was sent to Russia on a mission. I came back from Russia. And that's the way they paid his way back. And then they set him up to take the fall for the assassination of an American president. And George Zimornschelt was to be sure that, of course, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. But didn't Zimornschelt eventually feel very, very bad about it? Didn't he? Didn't he write a book, say, about him?
Yeah, the title is I'm Just a Patsy, I'm Just a Patsy.
Right. And what did Zimornschelt say in the book?
Well, he kind of, there's a little hints of things in there. He mentions his friendship with Jackie Kennedy's mother and how he had a lot of... there was some weird stuff in there, but there was some interesting things. He mentions Ruby Rosa, who was the son-in-law to President Trujillo, who the CIA supplied the weapons to have him assassinated with. And...
Well, men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose, and the American people need to understand the real agenda of America's secret government. And, of course, how they'll red rifle shot over anyone they want to, including an American president. And just 41 years ago, a John Fitzgerald Kennedy, a very popular and charismatic president, was murdered in the United States And of course, his assassin was immediately killed by Jack Ruby, who then mysteriously died of cancer.
Right.
Hold just a minute there.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention, we do carry the Berkey water filters, both the Big Berkey and, of course, here in California.
Hi, I'm Michael Anthony Perucchia.
The only ones that you can get is the Berkey Light, but this does a good job. This is what we've had ourselves. But these water filters, of course, will not only take the contaminations out of your water, but if you have fluoride or MTB or arsenic or lead, why, of course, they will take those things out as well. In fact, the black Berkey filters on the Berkey Light will take out everything but, of course, the arsenic and the fluoride, and you have to get special post filters for that. The interesting thing is, of course, that they will actually take out a radioactive material, although you should have an extra set of filters on hand, because after a couple of weeks you'll want to change them, but they will actually filter this out. If you'd like to know more about the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, go to our website of radioliberty.com or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bruce Adamson on the 41st anniversary of the murder of an American president, and they got away with it. Well, right now we have Mike calling from Phoenix, Arizona. If you're out there and the listening audience would like to give us a call, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's the number you would want to call to reach us here would be 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. The 1-800-544-8927 is if you want to order any of the items we talk about, like the JFK assassination tapes or the JFK special, etc. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment there?
Yeah. Hi, Stan. Mr. Adamson, I was just looking at your website, and I was interested in the CD, which is basically the entire series.
Right.
And I didn't see what you're asking for that.
I was asking like 75, and then I would donate a third to the Radio Liberty.
Okay, great.
That's, I think, all 12 or 13 volumes plus
all the 13 volumes, yeah. Right.
Okay, anything else, Mike?
No, sir. Very interesting show.
Well, thank you so very much. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Bruce Adamson, who's totally dedicated his life here for the last 12 years to tracking down this incredible story of George de Moorenschelt. And you're not going to hear this most places, but although apparently Bruce is in the big time. He was on the George Norrie show the other night. Do you have a good time?
Coast to coast. I was on Thursday and Friday.
Okay, that's wonderful.
And somebody called in that knew de Moorenschelt, and they're going to supply some photographs, and I'm going to set them up with some books.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, let's go to Bart, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. Thank you both very much. This is just fabulous information. Just a brief question, and I'll get off and take my answer on the air. At the age of 19, I was first introduced to what is really going on in this world by the work of a very aggressive and intelligent researcher by the name of Mae Brussel. And I was wondering, sir, if you were able to gain anything from her research. And I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Well, I don't. I know she covered de Moorenschelt a lot because I used to hear her when I was living in Aptos there, and you know, when they had her on every week. So she spoke a lot on de Moorenschelt, but I don't think she ever had access to de Moorenschelt's phone book, because I didn't get it till 92, and I understand she had passed away prior to that, and nobody had ever really focused in on George de Moorenschelt through going through his personal phone book and papers. And so, but I think she was pretty smart and pretty sharp for a lady, and not for a lady, but just a pretty sharp lady.
Yeah, you better be careful. You'll get us both into trouble.
No, she was, but she just didn't have access to that evidence. And I say the same thing about Jim Garrison in New Orleans. He knew something was wrong and sensed it, but he didn't know to go after George de Moorenschelt.
Now, I think the thing is that the government has unlimited resources that they spend in suppressing the information. Now, we can track it down, but where are we going to get anybody who's going to put 12 years of their life and travel all over the country at their own expense, you know, to track down the information that that Bruce has? And certainly going to the Lyndon Baines Johnson's library and finding here that de Moorenschelt was actually meeting with somebody, you know, just a couple of days before the assassination. What did you find, you know, in the correspondence that you had, what did you find in Lyndon Baines Johnson's records about his relationship with de Moorenschelt?
Well, just that, you see, Lyndon, the point that I was making earlier was that every time Lyndon went to Palm Beach, he stayed at the Cassini's in-laws' house.
All right. What was the relationship between Cassini and de Moorenschelt?
They're royal white Russians, and
all right,
they're friends. They're,
all right, fine.
And de Moorenschelt, or Cassini's wife, committed suicide because of Bobby Kennedy on April the 7th. Oswald signs over that picture of him with a rifle on April the 5th to de Moorenschelt. On April the 10th, Oswald allegedly is shooting at right-wing General Walker. And on April the 11th, de Moorenschelt is meeting with Oswald and saying, jokingly saying, "Are you the guy that shot at General Walker?" But Oswald supposedly didn't drive, so de Moorenschelt could have been with him and could have been driving.
Well, now, but then what was the relation? What did certainly de Moorenschelt meet with Johnson about?
Well, that's what I was getting to. That was April the 10th or 11th. On April the 17th, de Moorenschelt is writing to Lyndon Johnson and saying, "We have many mutual friends." And then on April the 18th, Lyndon Johnson, his assistant Walter Jenkins, is writing to de Moorenschelt, and he says that if you have any, we'll make time for you to meet the vice president in about a week. Yeah. Well, when I told you the House Select Committee released their report, they released this memo saying that de Moorenschelt met with this person on April the 26th, but they blacked out the name.
So why?
They didn't know the letters were in Houston, at the University of Texas.
Now, of course, I'm sure that the Health Select Committee, and for our listeners out there, that was the last investigation. This was a special committee.
Actually, they had the GFK Records Review Board Act, and but that was just in the 90s.
Do you think that they ever knew who that was? Did they get that information from the government and they had it blacked out? In other words, they did not want the American people ever to find out that DeMorne Shelton was meeting with Lyndon Johnson. So when they released the records, they blacked that out. So why was DeMorne Shelton, who's Lee Harvey Oswald's handler, meeting with Lyndon Johnson, who is the man who has the most to gain from the assassination of American president? Because they didn't want the American people to know that Lyndon Baines Johnson was involved. And that's why, of course, our interview with Madeleine Duncan Brown, Lyndon's mistress, overlaps so beautifully with Bruce's work as well, because she was there the evening before when the plans for the murder were being made.
Well, let's see, there was something I was going to, another point that I was going to make is that that the DeMorne Shelton meets him to begin on May the 20th when he gets a $300,000 line of credit.
Now he meets with the
Lyndon Johnson on May the 20th.
He meets with Lyndon Johnson a second time.
And he gets a $300,000 line of credit from Brown Brothers and Harriman.
All right, and of course, Brown Brothers and Harriman is tied into the Bush family. Prescott Bush has been part of that, right?
Right. Yeah, he was working there. He retired as, Prescott Bush retired as a senator on the day that DeMorne Shelton last meets with Oswald. And then when Oswald is communicating with Senator Tower, at the very time Senator Tower is having barbecues in Connecticut at Senator Prescott Bush's house.
And then, sir, Senator Tower knows altogether too much, and he meets a strange accident. His plane crashes.
Plane crashes, right. Yeah.
And so you begin to see, put all these little pieces together, and pretty soon you get a picture of with what Bruce has, and certainly what we have been able to track down, and you'll find on our various tape sets and things like that. You can begin to see the entire picture. We carried a book until recently. It's now out of print. It was called The Missing Witnesses. Over 105 people who knew something about the assassination all died very, very, very strange and mysterious deaths. And many of them were just frankly shot down, others supposed suicides, but all within a very, very short period of time. So sometimes it doesn't pay to know too much or to see something happen, because of course you may get a knock on your door next time.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to say. After I did the George Norris show, I had about 40 phone calls. I gave out my phone number, and two of them were threatening, and I was able to ID them. So I have passed it on to law enforcement. They identified themselves as agents from the U.S. government, and that they have ways of taking care of me.
They really told you that?
A couple days ago, yeah. I filed a police report today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about imaginary things. This is the sort of thing that really goes on in America today. So you have to understand, even after all this time, they cannot let the American people know. I know, I didn't know that it happened, Bruce.
Oh, well, no, I just figured this showing people, you know, and then I turn on the news today and I see that airplane going to pick up President Bush Sr. crashes, and three people were killed. That was kind of an omen, you know. But it sounds like it was just an accident that the pilot hit a pole or something. But I don't know. We don't know the whole story there. But it was just weird. Can you imagine how our president would react if his father had been killed? But it wasn't that way. The pilot and two other passengers were killed today.
Well, apparently it's supposed it was heavy fog and they clipped a pole. But
yeah, yeah.
And it may very well have been what happened. You just don't know.
That's right. But, you know, we do know that somebody called me and threatened me, and so I was able to ID him. So hopefully I'll be able to ID him with a name. Another thing is, you know, that...
When I did the George Norrie Coast to Coast show, I did get a couple of witches that called me and sent me emails, didn't like what I had to say, but I guess that the government really doesn't mind when you talk about the occult.
Well, where do we go from here?
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our guest today is Bruce Adamson. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, there's just so many incredible things about this whole story of Lee Harvey Oswald. For instance, here is Lee Harvey Oswald. He's going to be shooting at General Walker, who's an anti-communist leader there in Texas. And General Walker is sitting in his chair, silhouetted against the window. A very obvious thing, Lee Harvey Oswald's outside. And he shoots at him, and he misses. And yet, we are told that he was able to get off 3 shots in 5 seconds, and of course, kill the American president with 2 of them. And one of those bullets was so magical that it went through President Kennedy from behind.
They make such a big fuss on the Discovery Station History Channels about Oswald and how he could have all these experts come in shooting pumpkins and watermelons, but they don't tell you the most important thing is that Oswald, when he's arrested, doesn't have gunpowder on his face. He could not have made the shot and looked down the scope of the rifle and without leaving gunpowder on his face.
Well, maybe he didn't sight it then. Maybe he just put out the shots. I mean, the whole thing is so ridiculous, the magic bullet. You need to do an analysis of it, but you'll get so much information from Bruce Adamson's information, because this is information you're not going to get through most different things. And of course, the relationship between George Lemoyne Schelt and the key figures, George Herbert Walker Bush and of course Lyndon Johnson. What about Alan Dulles? What was the relationship between Lemoyne Schelt and Dulles, or some of his relatives?
Before I get to Dulles, I can mention that in 1953, Dulles was corresponding with Prescott Bush and Neil Mallon, and they said that their Caribbean project was going very well. And that's right when Bush Sr. founded Zapata Oil, and that was the code name for the Bay of Pigs invasion, Operation Zapata. Now, just because Bush wrote me a letter admitting that he knew Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend, doesn't mean that he's guilty of anything. But then you look at that he was in charge of the Bay of Pigs invasion for the CIA with the head of the California Democratic Party in California, which was Edwin Pauley. Then you have J. Edgar Hoover briefing George Bush the day after the assassination on the assassination. Then you have Bush calling the FBI office in Houston saying that he knew this other guy named James Parrott talking about killing President Kennedy when he came to Houston. But he doesn't mention that he waits till after the assassination before he tells anybody, and he doesn't mention that he had been friends with Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend since 1942. And then there's a lawsuit where he is suing Governor Connally in the Houston District Court before the assassination on the how the Democrats had a monopoly on the voting districts.
Of course, there are a lot of people who have said that Connally was also a target in that. They intended to kill him, and they...
Well, that's what kind of made Lyndon Johnson look innocent, is right. Because Lyndon Johnson loved John Connally. Right. He didn't want to hurt him, but Bush did not. Bush didn't like Connally.
And, of course,
they later became friends.
Right. Well, of course, the whole story is really so incredible, but the American people must never learn the truth and learn that they appointed a committee to confuse the issue. They were covered by the media, that the FBI and the CIA were both involved. Because at that point, then who can you trust? And the answer is, you really can't trust much of anybody other than your family and God. But you have to find out who the good and honest people are out there if we want to forget what the story. Now, then what was the relationship between Alan Dulles and Lemoyne Schelt?
Okay, there you go. Well, you mentioned how they locked these documents up. Well, I went all over the country, and I went to Stanford, and I went to the Hoover Institute, and I found a letter from Alan Dulles to Dimitri von Mornschild 3 days after Alan Dulles became CIA director, and that was in 1953, February 27th, and then I found out that Alan Dulles had worked with Mornschild's father-in-law, Samuel Walter Washington. Samuel Walter Washington was very high up in the State Department, and he was working under CIA cover in from 50 to 53 in the Guatemala coup, and he was in charge of 250 CIA agents. Samuel Walter Washington was thought of very highly because He is descended from both the brother of George Washington on his mother's side and on his father's side. And George de Mornchild happened to marry his daughter, Phyllis Washington. So here they go, why didn't they tell us this in the Warren Commission report? Why didn't they tell us that de Mornchild worked with Abe Zapruder in the Warren Commission report? Why didn't they tell us that Lyndon Johnson was meeting with de Mornchild?
And why did they black that out? Why was it so important to black that out so the public would never know? And the other reason we know is because Bruce went down to the Johnson Library, and they weren't very happy with you when you found that report, were they?
No, they're not. And
so everything is still being done, ladies and gentlemen, to conceal the truth from the American people about something that happened 41 years ago. Would they do the same thing with something that happened a little over 3 years ago? Of course they would. They sealed all that information. It's all classified. Why are we trying to keep Osama bin Laden from finding out what happened that day? Or are we trying to keep the American people from finding out?
I was, now is this on Genesis today?
We are on Genesis, right?
Okay. On September 11th, I woke up at 9:30 and I was dead tired. And I turn the TV on, and I'm watching what's going on, and some guy comes banging on my door wanting to lay carpet. And this guy was really muscular. I mean, I'm a big guy, but this guy was like a weightlifter, and he kind of looked like a Hell's Angel or something. And I said, I looked through the blinds. I'm not letting this guy in. And plus, I'm watching what's going on TV.
Had you ordered anything done to your carpet?
No. I was in a brand-new apartment. It was above a Mexican restaurant in Aptos, and you wouldn't even know somebody was living there. Yet somebody had, let's say I had gotten purged or terminated, if I can use that word. Nobody would have missed Bruce, because 3,000 people were just killed in New York.
Well, but we're going to let you go.
What's that?
Hang on here. Well, anyway, we're just going to take a moment here. And our guest today has been Bruce Adamson. And, of course, you can reach us at 1-888. Give your telephone number just one more time, Bruce.
Oh, okay. I'll get the website at CIAJFK.com, or the phone number is 831-465-9272.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll hope that you get lots of response from this.
Okay, and I would just mention the Muhammad Al-Fayyad connection to de Mornchild and the connection to Muhammad Atta.
Maybe
another show.
All right, we'll have to do that another time. But thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest has been Bruce Adamson. Fascinating information you're just not going to get elsewhere. And of course, you'll want to get Bruce's material and mention you heard of him here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of the other things that we do carry. We do carry the Samson shortwave radio, their AM/FM shortwave, but Samson makes a great portable radio. Of course, it runs either direct current or runs with batteries, but of course, for shortwave listeners, why the Samson is great. And of course, if you can't get all of our programs, they are heard 4 hours a day on shortwave. Samson comes with a 25-foot aerial, and the aerial is really the key to getting good reception. And this is all set up so you can just sort of plug it into the radio. And so you'll have a 25-foot aerial inside the house, as well as the regular aerial on the top. But the Samson products are excellent. We're proud to carry them. You can see their picture at our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. Or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. And the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum gives you the opportunity to teach your children at home from grammar school all the way through college for $199.95. Now, how can they possibly do that? Well, everything is on 22 CDs. The textbooks are there. The only textbooks you have to buy independently are the Saxon math textbooks. But all the rest of the textbooks are there. The lessons are there. The tests are there. The answer to the tests are there. And the whole idea is that the child begins to educate themselves with the information you have available. Then the child is not on the internet. You pull the things down off of the CDs. You give it to them. And of course, they work from there. This is the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, $199.95 for the entire program. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, I hope that many of you will want to get Bruce's material. We hope you'll want to get our material on the JFK assassination. We have a four-tape set called The JFK Assassination. Two fascinating hours with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was immortalized in the Oliver Stone's film JFK, as the colonel who sat on the bench with Jim Garrison and said there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of President Kennedy, and we want you to find out what it was. Well, there was a real colonel. He never sat on a park bench, but we have 2 hours with Fletcher Prouty, an hour with Dr. Crenshaw, who was at the hospital in Dallas, the Parkland Hospital, when they brought the president in. And believe me, the wounds in the president when he came to the hospital were not the wounds that they found when they brought him to Bethesda. Why they couldn't let the American people know he'd been shot from in front, not from behind, by Lee Harvey Oswald. And then, of course, the interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, that's tape set number one. Tape set number two, which is JFK Up Late, is the interview with Madeline Duncan Brown and Jim Fetzer. A fascinating four-tape set. You can get the first tape set or the second tape set, or you can get the JFK special, which includes several books, one of them being the book of Killzone, written by Craig Roberts, gives you the whole background of what really happened. So tremendous amount of information is available, and we hope you'll make access of it. Get the individual tape sets or get the JFK special with about $80 worth of material, and that comes, I think, for $69.95, and we pay the postage. That's the JFK special, and you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We carry a book called Regicide, written by Gregory Douglas, supposedly based upon the tapes of the gentleman within the CIA who made this whole plan for the murder of an American president. The book actually has a list of the people who supposedly are CIA agents across America. One of them happened to be my next-door neighbor, which was rather intriguing. The book is called Regicide. It's available from Radio Liberty, or you can specifically request that when you order the JFK special. We'll be sure you get a copy. That's Regicide, or get it with a JFK special. And it's a great deal if you'd like to get all of that information and have it there. And you'll actually hear Madeline Duncan Brown talking about the party the night before the assassination. Who was there? You'll be amazed at who was there. And it was very obvious that this is where the plans were made to kill an American president. So it's important 41 years ago to know what happened 41 years ago and realize they're using the same techniques today. Because you see, there really is evil within our world. There really are evil and demonic forces at work. And this is why you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book, the video, and the audio tape. We call it The Brotherhood of Darkness Special. And if you have any questions, you need to get those videos, either the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And, of course, these people... And we're talking about the Beatles, we're talking about Elvis Presley, we're talking about some of the modern people, we're talking about Ozzy Osbourne and Marilyn Manson. They were all disciples of Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. You need to get our four-tape set on Aleister Crowley. You need to get our four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind, and most people don't even know what's going on today. But there really are demonic forces at work in our society. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. I think you'll find the 10-hour version fascinating. Remember our number, it's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back again. And, of course, you can always go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and listen to us 5 hours a day. But until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.